And now, 2 years after Hurricane Katrina pounded the Gulf Coast, we're checking in to see what's still broken and what's been fixed. We've spoken several times with Dr. Karen DeSalvo, the chief of general internal medicine and geriatrics at Tulane University. If you have questions for her about hospitals and healthcare in New Orleans, what's improved, then what hasn't, our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. You can also join the discussion on our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Karen DeSalvo is now Executive Director of the Tulane University Community Health Center at Covenant House. And Dr. DeSalvo, it's nice to have you back on the program.
It's nice to be back. I'm happy to give you all an update.
And in general, how are things going?
Honestly, Neil, thanks to the generosity of foundations, private donors, foreign countries, and now indeed the federal government, things are much improved since especially the first time we talked and even the last few months.
Mm-hmm. And give us a for instance.
Well, for instance, we actually have 10 hospitals functioning in the area. Not all are at full capacity, but we do have many more services available to folks, who need to be in the hospital. We've got about 24 clinics scattered around the community, neighborhood clinics that will take care of everybody irrespective of ability to pay. So new safety net clinics that many of which have come up since the storm, like our own clinic at the Tulane Clinic at Covenant House. So there's been some progress on the front of rebuilding this health system into a distributed one where we have neighborhood clinics and people have more access to primary and preventive care so that we can keep them out of the hospital as possible.
Mm-hmm. Those clinics, I guess that's what we sometimes refer to as primary care infrastructure, the first point of contact with the medical system.
Yes, really critical. And as many people likely know by now, before the storm, we actually had concentrated services for low-income populations in our downtown area. And the obvious problem with that was that when that flooded, because it was so geographically centralized, it got knocked out. And so we had, frankly, the opportunity to rebuild, and we have been able to do that. What we're working on now is how to sustain these clinics, because a lot of them are, as I said, operating off grant funding like our own. And so we need to find a way to move out of the, funding from corporations, et cetera, and into a sustainable model where we have broader health insurance coverage for the population.
Now, we're talking with Dr. Karen DeSalvo in New Orleans. If you'd like to join us in our discussion about health care and hospitals in that city, 800-989-8255. I wonder, part of the effect was certainly on the physical plants of the hospitals and healthcare facilities around the city, but also on the staff. A whole lot of nurses and doctors and other skilled professionals left.
Yeah, we had the largest exodus in history of healthcare professionals. We're starting to get people back. We think we have about two-thirds of the doctors back in the area. We still have a terrible nursing shortage. In our own clinic, for example, I've been able to hire doctors. We have three now that are full-time to serve the population, but we haven't been able to fill our nursing spots. And I think that's pretty typical for other folks. And, I mean, the good news, I guess, is what it means is that doctors are having to expand their skills, right? We've had to learn to give shots and do lots of things that were typically out of our scope of practice, and I think often that's good for the patients. It's very good for the doctors, because they're getting an understanding of other professionals. But, yeah, we're still – we at our own facility and I think across the board are hurting for staff. I tell you what else we don't have enough of is social workers or mental health professionals,
mm-hmm.
or even staff in the hospitals, for example, to handle dietary and housekeeping.
I was going to ask you specifically about mental health, which was a particular problem after the storm.
Yeah, it's been a problem not only for people with new mental illness or new depression and anxiety, but that part of the population that has severe mental illness like schizophrenia who don't have a crisis intervention unit to go to, and there's not a publicly funded psychiatric unit for them anymore. We still have not been able to recover that. So it continues to be a problem not only in the clinic setting, but also for other hospitals and emergency rooms, for the police force, because there's not a stable place for these folks to go and get really good help. We're learning a lot as a community about anxiety and depression, which is we've learned that people definitely want to seek out others who've had similar experiences, so we've been relying on things like group visits and creative ideas like drumming circles for teenagers to get them off the streets, give them a chance to talk to each other in an organized environment and use music is an outlet, and drums are great, right, because you can make a lot of noise.
And burn off a lot of energy, too.
Burn off a lot of energy, art therapy, et cetera. So we're doing what we can with what we have available, but, yes, we definitely still need resources for mental health.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation again, 800-989-8255. And our guest is Dr. Karen DeSalvo of Tulane University. And let's turn first to Andrew. Andrew's calling us from Rhode Island.
Yes, I'd like to ask Dr. DeSalvo, I'm a physician practicing in New Orleans, what she thinks about the status of healthcare reform in Louisiana. Louisiana ranks at the bottom in terms of healthcare outcomes and overall health of its population. And the current plan at the state level is to build a $1.2 billion hospital complex downtown, which to many authorities seems to be an inappropriate use of federal and state funds. And I wonder what her perception is about this and the status of health care reform in the state.
Dr. DeSalvo?
Do I have a couple of hours?
No.
Okay. Andrew, thanks for your question. This is central to one of the big debates we're having. We're not only a state with a lot of health care needs, pre-K, not only now, as you say, but we're also one of the poorest states in the country, and so we need to spend our money wisely. What reform group or planning group after group after group said was that we needed to emphasize primary and preventive care, neighborhood-based, and expand coverage for people so they would have more options and access to care and not only be sent to places where they had to wait in long lines. We're living some of that through the implementation, as I mentioned, of grassroots things to try to build that infrastructure. From a policy standpoint, there are some 30,000-foot activities going on related to some organizations like Blueprint or the Coalition of Leaders for Louisiana Healthcare that have actually mapped out some of the legislative changes necessary and the actuarial information, if you will, how much will it cost to cover the health insurance for people, for pilots in this region. So we've actually made extremely good progress in working out the numbers. Now we've got to get the state government and the federal government to agree on this. We have also, by the way, expanded Medicaid coverage to try to improve access to care for people.
I'm just reading between the lines, but it sounds as if you're not a fan of that large new facility that Andrew was talking about.
Well, I mean, I think we do need the hospital. We need to have a safety net hospital in New Orleans, and it is a place that Tulane physicians train, and so we do support it. But yeah, the size is something that we all need to carefully think about because the cost of it is high, and we have a lot of needs for our population. And as a primary care advocate, Neil, I think we need to make sure we invest in preventing people from getting sick, not just making sure they have a hospital bed when they do.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
And good luck when you get back to New Orleans. Let's go now to this is Chris, and Chris is with us from Cincinnati.
Yes, I'm a mental health professional, a mental health counselor, and I heard you mention the shortage of mental health workers in New Orleans. And I was wondering if that is because of funding, there's no money to pay people, or is that because of nobody wants to work in the area?
We had a shortage before the storm, so we started with a deficit. And now we have lost providers, as we have in all areas, but we also have an increase in need. So there was sort of a deficit, and now the gap is wider just by virtue of losing providers and having more people who have issues, especially substance abuse issues. And in terms of recruiting people to the area, I will tell you that I have never in the 7 years I've been recruiting doctors down here, the last 2 years have been the most rich for me. Including other professionals that we work with, sometimes like clinic coordinator kind of people or social workers. It's just that we can't get them fast enough. I'm really thrilled at how many people around the country who are interested in healthcare or education, et cetera, who are flocking to our city to try to help. So some of it is just timing, too. But just to answer specifically, there are financial issues. This new money we're getting from the federal government, what we call the $100 million grant, will help pay for mental health in the primary care setting, and that's really critical because most people in the population don't want to go to a mental health center or psychiatric center, but they do need to talk to somebody. So if we can embed that in primary care in the way that we've been starting to do in the community, I think it will make a much bigger difference.
Considering relocating, Chris?
Well, who knows? If there's a big need, and I've got the talent. Yeah.
All right.
I'm just curious if the government is funding mental health.
They are. We have, you know, we have, for example, specific programs that fund certain kinds of health providers, do loan repayment, relocation of money. So there are our actual, the New Orleans Health Service Corps that was developed. It's a special program. We've got $50 million to spend to help recruit health professionals. And then there's money through this primary care access and stabilization grant that will start flowing in the next couple months that will provide 3 years of stable funding for primary care services, including mental health. So, yes, start looking for ads.
Okay. All right, Chris, good luck.
Thank you very much.
So long. Let's see, we get one more caller in, and this will be Peter. Peter with us from Sunny Hills in Florida.
Thank you, Dr. DeSalvo, for your work in New Orleans. My wife's a primary care family practice doctor, and I'm trying to convince her to move to the New Orleans area.
Mm-hmm.
You answered some of my questions just now, but I was wondering is there a site or something we could visit or something you could tell me to tell my wife to convince her it's okay to come back to New Orleans?
Yeah, you know, we've become expert tour guides, all of the healthcare community. I give a lot of tours for folks, and, I mean, I'd be happy to help set that up for people. Come to our clinic. We're at 611 North Rampart Street. You know, ask for me, ask for Leah Berger, the coordinator. We're happy to show you around our facility. There's plenty of others in the area. If you want to go to a website called pathla.org, it's got a bunch of safety net clinics in the community, one of which is the Tulane Covenant House Clinic, and it'll give you some idea of the geographic dispersal of those clinics, but also their addresses and phone numbers if you want to call. Some are federally qualified health centers. Some are academic institutions like ours. Others are faith-based, so there's a nice menu of options to choose from.
And, Peter, let me ask you, why do you want your wife to consider moving to New Orleans?
I lived in New Orleans all my life. When I married her 10 years ago, the first thing she did was move me away from New Orleans, and I'm trying to get back in the area.
You're like all local people. They all want to come home. You know what? There are definitely some parts of our city that are still in pretty bad shape, but we are making incremental changes, positive direction with infrastructure, and you can certainly live in the city and not really even barely know that we flooded anymore, because some of the what we call the aisle of denial, the strip along the river that's high ground,
right,
as well as some other parts, is in really good shape. So first thing to do is just bring her for the weekend.
Peter?
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And good luck to you. And Dr. DeSalvo, thank you so much again for your time. We do appreciate it.
Thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Karen DeSalvo is the Chief of General Internal Medicine and Geriatrics at Tulane University, Executive Director of the Tulane University Community Health Center at Covenant House, and she joins us today from her office in New Orleans. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.